Hi, everybody. Welcome back to the CampCast. I'm Jason Fallgerber. Thank you so much for joining us today. This episode is the second of our four-part series of podcasts and video recordings that we are calling the International Staff Experience. In this series, we'll be interviewing and talking to international staff who were never Menominee campers that decided to return to camp on staff for multiple summers. Our goal is to help our first-year international staff hear and see the things from the perspective of people who were in their shoes not long ago. So in these chats, we'll explore the nerves of coming to camp for the first time on staff, how long it took to really connect to camp, what some of the highest and lowest moments are for a new international staff member, and much more. One other wrinkle is that you will hear a different member of our team conduct the interview each episode. Today, you'll hear Jeff talk to Aranza Pastrana, who is coming back for her eighth summer from Mexico, and Gavin Pritchard, who is joining us for his third summer from Scotland. In our first episode, I spoke to Beth and Alice from England, and coming up, you'll hear Fernando and Henning interview some of our other amazing staff in future episodes. We hope these are both fun and bring a unique perspective to camp. If you are an incoming first-year staff member, listen to this, pay attention. At some point each episode, you'll hear the guests tell us their favorite ice cream flavor. When you hear that, email or message Jeff with what their favorite flavors from the episode are and what your favorite ice cream flavor is. I promise this will pay off when you get to camp. Okay, for new staff, I hope you get a better sense of what your potential connection to camp can be this summer. And for the rest of our community, I really hope you could get to know some of our truly important staff members that you may not get a chance to otherwise. So here is Jeff's conversation with Aranza and Gavin. But first, as always, Miles Provost.
So thank you guys for joining us on a Zoom on this beautiful Saturday afternoon in our respective winters. So I'm here at home in near Montreal, Canada. My name is Jeff Toombs. I started at camp in 1999. This will be my 25th year, but I think it's my 15th or 16th actual summer at camp. And my family, my wife, Julie, and my daughter, Elodia, come to camp every year, and I am the assistant director. Who are you guys?
Hi, I'm Aranza. I'm from Mexico, but currently I live in Chicago, gaming. This will be my eighth summer at camp.
Beautiful.
Yep.
Gavin, who are you?
I'm Gavin. I'm Gavin. I'm from Glasgow in Scotland. This will be my third year at camp, and I'm not going into the whole COVID thing. So it's the third year. I'm over it.
Yeah. And these guys both have really cool roles at camp, and they've changed from day one. So Aranza, your first year at camp, were you on support staff in the kitchen, or where were you?
Yes, in the kitchen. I spent three summers in the kitchen.
Beautiful.
Three summers being housekeeper, and this will be my second summer in the CDT team.
Yeah. So the camper development team, Aranza is climbing the ladders at camp and is basically our main administrative assistant with CDT, does a ton of stuff that you'll hear a little bit of on the books and off in some of these answers. One of the things that I would take away as a new staff member is that whether it's starting in one role, after 8 years at camp, a lot of those have been different years or different roles in different years. And that's amazing. Same with myself and Gavin as well. Gavin stepping into an out of cabin role, being far more supportive around a lot of logistics. Anyone listening to this that knows camp knows that, There are certain things that happen behind the scenes that no one ever hears about. No one ever knows, whether it's going and retrieving bows and arrows that were repaired or things like that, or picking up children from the city, or, you know, all the big stuff. Gavin has been one of those guys that very early, like I'm talking days into camp, we knew that we could trust him with such large things. And so now we're leaning into it and seeing that that's a major strength that he carries. And one of the takeaways, and it kind of leads us to some of our questions, is I hope what you guys can hear are these are two people that are extremely trustworthy individuals from the administrative kind of perspective, as well as their coworkers, the people that they work with. They have a ton of information. These are definitely people that you can lean on from what they've had to learn at camp and what they can then help you and teach with you or teach to you around their experience at camp. And so we're extremely grateful that they're on our team, and they're incredible people with some major insight. Part of that leading to our first question around relationships. And like I said, Gavin, and around, I met Gavin in Scotland at a fair, you know, in 2019 or something like that, and like forever ago. And what he was alluding to was through COVID, wasn't able to come straight away, but was able to come to camp at his first time. And now you're on to your third year, Gavin.
Yeah.
Yeah. So some amazing stuff during then. And Aranza was at camp when I came back to camp, and again in a very different role from where she started. But I've, you know, eaten her mother's semitas in Puebla, Mexico, and we are all family in this, and no two better people than to talk about relationships. So Aranza, if I was to ask the question around like what relationships do you feel like you've kind of built at camp, or with the staff or with campers, do you have any kind of feelings or takeaway of that?
Yes, I think camp has given me the chance to build big relationships in my life. Lots of people who had been at camp, I still have contact with them. I got two of my best friends at camp. One is coming back this summer. Isis is coming back, yay. Camp will always introduce you to people from all over the world. And like I said, I still have contact with people from like my first summer. Like they text me saying like, oh, you're still at camp. And I like camp gave me the chance to meet my second family. The Christian moms, I live with them. They have four kids. One goes to camp. Like they are an awesome family. They're very supportive. And because I live in the suburbs, I run with people from fantasy camp or post camp like all the time. Mm-hmm. And like they see you and they will see you very happy, and they will say hi and they will hug you and they will ask you how you're doing. And they like, it's a friendly place.
I love that. Gavin, anything around like relationships, people you've met at camp, anything around that?
Yeah, like it was really echoes what Aranza was saying. Like you're introduced to so many people, like so many different perspectives. I grew up in Scotland, like I knew Scottish people. and then even like going to camp, the first time I was there for pre-camp, and I'm with Tooms and Jason, Fernando, like just meeting them, these are people I still talk to. Even then, like other staff came in, Ryan Hume, I talk to him not every day, every week, but like we still catch up with each other. Gareth, like the people that have been introduced from the UK, still talk to most of them. And it's one of those where like you don't think. I didn't think first going into it, I was like, oh, I'll go do a year. That'll probably be it. But it does just grab you, the relationships you build, like going back, and I know Gareth's coming back. It's one of the things that helps you look forward to it. And even in like camper relationships, I was a counselor for 2 years. Josh Jaffe, I've watched him like first year he was in senior cabin. I've now seen him be a CIT, and I'm assuming he's coming back as a counselor. Absolutely. Like just seeing that, I still talk to him. And then like the kids that you have in your first cabin, I didn't get them last year. That's fine. I'm not bitter. But watching them and how they've grown over the year, like, is one of those, like, it just gives you a good feeling. And it's that relationship where you know that you've had that impact, especially with them coming back to camp.
Yeah. It's funny, like, my answer is always so easy because, and you guys have heard this over the years, but, like, Jason was my camper. And so, like, you know, I started in 1999 and in 2003, you know, he was in my cabin and some of my closest friends. And I know, again, I know my accent sounds more like that of, you know, the flag behind me and the U.S. and that, but I'm a J1 guy coming in from Canada. When I was 22 years old, I came to camp just like you. And I didn't know summer camps. It was the movies just like you guys. We didn't go to those summer camps just like you guys. But you know, the biggest heart thing that it connects to today as a 46-year-old man is that when I have big life events that happen to me, yeah, I've got friends from high school. I've got, you know, my cousins and people around, you know, that I've met over the years, but my closest friends and the people that reach out to me the soonest for support, for the birth of my child, for my wedding, for it, were my camp guys, you know, and there's something about that, you know, that family and those connections with the guys at camp that we don't get to see each other every day. We know that that's the truth. And yet those relationships are incredibly strong away from camp and at camp. And so, like Gavin is saying, like Aranz is saying, like, when we get to come back to camp, we plug back into those relationships. But without us ever taking this chance, I would not have this at 46-year-old, 80 years old, or 17 years old. I didn't have it then. I got it through camp. And that's I think our next questions are like, well, how did we get that? Like, what did it take to kind of, you know, plug in and get that for us to give that to camp, we were also getting something back. And so we often talk about impactful moments or highlights or times at camp. And both Aranz and Gavin, I know you guys have different feelings around how you've been able to support, you know, our campers or our staff members or things like that. But when I say, like, impactful moments or times when you knew that you were supportive to someone at camp, does anything come to mind for either of you, Aranz?
Yes, last summer I found one kid like crying. He was like having a terrible day. He was not being happy, and that, like, not being happy at camp makes them feel miss home. Mm-hmm. So he was just crying and crying and crying, and I found him. I talked to him, like, what is happening? What, like, why are you crying? It was, I think, shower time, and like kids are like everywhere, so. Mm-hmm. I found him, I talked to him, and like he was able to calm down. Like, I feel like kids only sometimes they just need to be like, listen. That's all I need. So we talked, he felt much better. Like, he started to like calm down. And the next day, like, he was very happy. I remember that I was walking and he saw Dawson.
Yeah.
And he was like, Dawson, please, a photo. So, like, we took a photo together. So it's so funny. And then because, like, that's people from around the suburbs. The mom of the kids that I live with, she texted me and she was like, I saw the picture. The mom saw the picture and she's so happy.
Huge. I love that. Gavin, what does that kind of bring forward for you? Some advice or anything?
Like, the whole homesickness thing is probably one of the biggest issues you're going to face in your time at camp.
Mm-hmm.
Not just for the kids, but I was homesick my first year. I was at camp a month before anyone else. Like, that was me, Andy, Fernando, and the admin.
Yeah. Lonely days.
But that, like, month with me getting to know those guys and the admin, like, that helped me realize that it's okay that we're going to be homesick and the kids are going to be homesick. But one of the main things, like, for me last year, my cabin, a lot of them really struggled with homesickness. And, like, I mean, we weren't prepared for how bad cabin 3 had homesickness last year. Like, every day something was brought up about it. But the main thing for me was like, I was able to just sit them down and be like, "What? I know exactly what you're feeling. Like, I'm 3,000 miles from home. My whole family's there. Like, the people I have are the people around me," and just being able to like give them that support. They realize they're not alone. Mm-hmm. Like, they're in a cabin of 9-10 other people. Guarantee every one of them's feeling this at some point.
You bring up a huge point, Gavin, that like some of our staff will know this, some of our parents will know this, but you know, summer camps, you know, been perceived in the industry as instrumental in you know, peer-to-peer relationship development. And you just brought up the point of, you know, that they're not alone, and that feeling of being alone. And we have to say it, you know, they have been alone. And during the past, you know, few years of development, and even what they might be feeling at home, in the way that their relationships with their friends and stuff are developing at home, is very different from that at camp. Camp is this like concentrated, you know, incredible, fast-tracked way of developing some of those relationships, because we all know that a day feels like months and years, and you know, then what can happen at camp. We go through all these ebbs and flows of a typical day and information, and some is real world and some of it is make-believe that we have at camp. And so part of that development that is happening, and part of that reason why we're seeing the, you know, elements of homesickness or separation anxiety or whatever you want to call it, is because that is what they came to camp with. You know, that is what we're meeting these boys with. And, you know, just like Gavin's saying, Aranza's saying, like, us being supportive to one another, us being supportive, obviously, to the boys is a priority, but not denying that it exists. And that's one of the things that ties us together, is this idea that we can be there for one another, so that we can get to those amazing moments at camp and see the perspective that we're all hoping the boys see it. And this brings up what I think is the reason why I do this job, because it is a job for all of you listening. It's a real job. It's real world. But I also know that it's very different than a lot of the jobs you've done at home. And so when I ask that question, what makes this different from a job at home? You know, you guys both have done so many things at camp that a lot of it is varied, but you're both employed and working, and some still, you're both going through some level of education at the same time as working, which is huge. But what makes this different from a job at home for you, Aranza?
Well, like, it's getting out of the routine. Like, mm-hmm. Going to camp, it's an adventure where you are going to learn about yourself and from other people, and you will build like you will build something for than their dad. Like, mm-hmm. you are in, I call camp the bubble. I think a lot of us do that.
Yeah.
And like, being in the bubble feels like in a safe place, mm-hmm. where you can like do fun stuff, like, I don't know, like, be interactive with kids and with other people. And like, I really enjoy just being there.
I love it. Gav, anything around how it's, well, I know it's very different for you, but anything, you know, to take away from that?
Yeah, like, you kind of touched on, we don't have things like this at home. Like, the closest that I think, when I think like summer camp, is the cadets in the UK. I was mm-hmm. in that. It's still completely different. Mm-hmm. Like, what I feel like, I've always worked like at multiple different jobs, customer service, logistics, like warehousing. What I feel now is this is the job that gives me a chance to make a difference. Mm-hmm. Like, right, I'm giving people parcels right now. Yeah, okay, I'm making a difference. They're getting what they ordered. But this is one of those where I'm going in, and this kid's summer, it's not solely dependent on me, but I'm going to make a difference to it.
Yeah.
And I hope it's a good difference.
It absolutely
sometimes,
is.
Sometimes,
it absolutely is.
They might not see it as a good difference at the time.
Worse.
But I know what I'm doing is in their best interests. And it's just like getting that ability. We don't have things like this at home. I don't really know if a job where I can make such a big impact exists mm-hmm. back home. Mm-hmm. but it's one of those where, yeah, is the impact for me and the feeling of making a difference.
I love that, because we often will, like Jason and I will often say, and you guys can call my bluff here or not, but if there's an energy, if there's an excitement, if there's a want that someone has at camp and they want to give that to the boys, they want to start a new program or dress a certain way or have a budget for something that we hope to try a new way, like we're all about it. But I've never worked a job that was open to that before. I was never open, like many of my jobs in the past, there was a way to do it. And that's how I was asked to do it. It wasn't all these personalities come in from around the world and dictate what the day looks like. And that literally is camp. And it could be anything from, you know, how we've done things for, you know, 90 plus years, but it's different every year because of you guys and the energy that you're bringing into it. And one of the things that I know that comes from that, when you give a lot of yourself, is that there can be some low moments at camp. Energy is scarce sometimes. You know, we think you get enough sleep and we provide a good enough sleep environment where that could happen, but you also have your time off and camp days are long and some, you know, the weather varies and different factors make you tired and have low energy. And so, you know, Fernando often talks about like what keeps you motivated, what'll be the thing that in your lowest moments can push you forward. Is there anything that comes to mind, Aranza, when you're dragging?
Yes, I think the impact that we all make in kids.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, I think you mentioned it last summer, how you want to be remembered.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel that like we are lucky to being like learning from the adventure of being at camp.
Yeah. And so how do we want to be remembered? Woody is our longest term employee at present and has literally been a father figure for me. And you talk about family and things like that. But I remember sitting in the pre-camp meeting in 1999 and hearing, how do you want to be remembered? And at 22 years old, you know, I didn't, to who, like remembered by whom, like in what regard? And I obviously know what that means now, because I think back to Jeff in 1999 and who and how and how I was remembered versus, you know, today. And I know you guys do the same from your first summers to today. And it's highly motivating to not only, like you've said multiple times in this call, see the opportunity of the work that we have, the relationships that we're trying to build, the impact that we could have. And so if that is often put forward with the idea of, well, how will it be remembered by camp, by that boy, by you, you know, by that summer, it's a good lens to look through on keeping you motivated and kind of honest in the day. Yeah. What about you, Gavin? What keeps you, straight on those?
Well, I've thought of something else now that we brought up, Woody. I remember one of the staff meetings last year, and he sat us all down, and you experienced they're something. I'll not ruin it, but basically sat us all down with a sheet of paper and asked us to write down why we're there.
Good.
And you had some people being like, oh, because I signed a contract, because like it paid for the visa, blah, blah, blah. But at the end of the day, the reason we're all there is for the boys, for the kids. Like, it's the reason you're hired. And that brings me to the point that I was going to bring up, but there's a nice segue into it. Like, you're hired for a reason. Jeff saw something in you. Like, Jason saw something in you. They see that and they want you to bring that to camp. That's the main thing I remember, like at the times where I'm like, I'm not really feeling this. And then I think, well, no, because like this has been saw this in me. If I bring that in, not only like happiness is contagious.
Mm-hmm.
You make the boys happy, you're going to be happy. If the boys are upset, like there's certain things that you're not going to be able to control. Like cabin three not getting to play in Kawaga competitions because it's very, very but if you find a way to keep their spirits up it's going to help you in the long term. Like, you're going to be happy being in that cabin.
Yeah.
And like, is just be yourself.
It's huge, Gavin. And you're, I love that you allude and are mature enough, and both of you are obviously mature enough to see that, that 100%. Some of us, it was a 20-minute interview in a hiring fair, just like this on a Zoom call. But there was something I saw in that person beyond their resume, beyond that, that was like, that's a good fit for our team this summer at camp. What it looks like next year at another time in your life with, you know, the variables of where you're going, I don't know. But in this moment, you're on this team, you're coming to camp, and I want you. I want the person that we met on that interview. I want the person that you can authentically be to the boys, and that will keep you energized. That will keep you honest. And the boys will want to meet that person, not the one you think you're supposed to be or invent somewhere else. Like, camp can be an incredible place to grow. We want to grow with the authentic person that's coming to us. So, no, that's huge. And I honestly, I think it's a good place to end. Hear us, hear Gavin's when he says, be yourself. Hear Aranza when she says, you know, how do you want to be remembered? Those are huge takeaways. I want to thank you guys in a traditional camp way. We have an incredible ice cream place in Saint Germain. Shout out to Kathy's in Saint Germain. Aranza, your favorite ice cream flavor that I can buy you for thanks. Your favorite ice cream flavor, Aranza and Gavin.
For me, cookie dough.
Cookie dough, one scoop. Gavin?
The pirate one. I like the pirate one.
The pirate's bounty? Yes. Yeah. I'm an after-dinner mint guy. You know, in my sophisticated age, it's lovely. It's basically mint chocolate chip, for those of you. Yeah. So, guys, thank you very much. Ice cream's on me, and can't wait to be with you guys this summer. It's going to be a good one. All the love from Canada, from Mexico via Chicago, and from Scotland. I hope this was informative. Thank you, guys.